Thank you. Prabhupada Paramahansa Brihadacharya Stotra Shaka. His Divine Vishnu A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Atai Gaur Premanam Devi Guru. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritam.
Narayanam Namaskritam.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Tato Jaya Madhiraje.
Tato Jaya Madhiraje.
Nasta praesho badresho nityam bhagavatam sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naistiki mukham karoti vachalam pangam gayate mrim yat kripatam aham vande shri guru dutarinam paramanandam madhavam shri chaitanya ishwaram. Reading from Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Chapter titled Rasta. Quits home, text number 48.
Tat
idam bhagavan raja ekaha atma atmana svadra anantaraha anantantaraha Bhati Pasya Tam Mayaya Buddha Taridam Bhagavan Rajan Ekatma Atmanam Svadraka Antaraha Anantaraha Bhati Pasya Tam Mayaya Buddha Taridam Bhagavan Rajan Ekatmanam Atmanam Svadra Antaraho Antara Bhati Pasyatam Mayaya Urdha Taridam Bhagavan Rajan Ekatmana Atmanam Svadra Antaro Antaro Bhati Pasyatam Mayaya Urdha Tad Idam Bhagavan Rajan Ekatmanam
Antaro Antaro Bhati
Antaro Antaro Bhati
Pasyatam
Mayaya Urdha Tadidam Bhagavan Rajan Ekatmanam Svadrek Antaro Antaro Bhati Pasyatam Mayaya Urdha. What translation? Please repeat after me. Tat.
Therefore.
Idam.
This manifestation.
Bhagavan.
The personality of Godhead. Rajan.
O King.
Ekaha.
One without a second.
Atma.
The super soul.
Atmana.
By his energies.
Swadra.
Qualitatively like him.
Antaraha.
Without. Anantaraha.
Antaraha.
Within and by himself.
Bhati.
So manifest. Asya. Look. Tam. Unto him only. Mayaya. By manifestation of different energies. Purudha. Appears to be many. Translation. Therefore, O King, you should look at Supreme Lord only, who is one without a second, and who manifests himself by different energies, and is both within and without. Please repeat after me, translation. Therefore,
O King,
you should look at the Supreme Lord only.
Who is one without
a second,
and who manifests
himself
by different energies.
And is
both within and without.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is one without a second. But He manifests Himself by different energies because He is by nature blissful. The living beings are also manifestations of His marginal energy, qualitatively one with the Lord. And there are innumerable living beings both within and without the external and internal energies of the Lord. Since the spiritual world is a manifestation of the Lord's internal energy, the living being within the internal potency are qualitatively one with the Lord without contamination from the external potency. Although qualitatively one with the Lord, the living being, due to contamination of material world, is pervertedly manifested, and therefore he experiences so-called happiness and distress in the material world. Such experiences are all ephemeral and do not affect the spirit soul. The perception of such ephemeral happiness and distress is due to only to the forgetfulness of his qualities, which are equal to the Lord's. There is, however, a regular current from the Lord himself, from within and without, by which to ratify the fallen condition of the living being. From within he corrects the desiring living beings as localized Paramatma, and from without he corrects by his manifestation the spiritual master and the revealed scriptures. One should look unto the Lord, and one should not be disturbed by so-called manifestation of happiness or distress, but he should try to cooperate with the Lord in his outward activities for correcting the fallen souls. By his orders only one should become a spiritual master and cooperate with the Lord. One should not become a spiritual master for one's personal benefit, for some material gain, or as an avenue of business or occupation for earning livelihood. Bona fide spiritual masters who look into the Supreme Lord to cooperate with Him are actually qualitatively one with the Lord, and the forgetful ones are perverted reflections only. Yudhishthira Maharaj is advised by Narada, therefore, not to be disturbed by the affairs of so-called happiness and distress, but to look only unto the Lord to execute the mission for which the Lord has descended. That was his prime duty. Om Tat Sat. Om Adhyanat Virandasya Jnanam Jana Shravaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutam Svayam Bhuta Padamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunatam, Vitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam, Savadutam, Parijana Saitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padam, Sahagana Lalita, Shri Vishakam Tamscha, He Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dinabandhu Jagatpate, Bhogesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Shavasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Presents the Bhaktivedanta Purport to text number 48 of chapter 13, chapter titled Dhritarashtra with Song, canto 1 of Srimad Bhagavatam.
the conversation between Yudhishthira and Narad Muni continues here. We've seen in the past, where we went through the previous verses, that Dhritarashtra, who was actually leaving after the death of his children with the Pandavas, and the Pandavas were really taking care of them well. They never had the animosity towards Dhritarashtra despite his doing so many negative things for the Pandavas, and they continued to maintain him well. They maintained Gandhari and Dhritarashtra very well, and Bhima was taking care of them really well. While this was seen by their uncle Vidura, who had left before the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and he had come back, and he realized that his brother, whom he loved very dearly, and Vidura was also a very qualified Vaishnava, and he realized that what his brother was doing was not the right thing, and he had to retire. He did not stay on whatever has been given to him by the Pandavas, and he advised him, saying that what you're doing is not the right thing for you to do. You should retire at this age and focus only on one thing. And soon after that advice, both Dhritarashtra and Gandhari leave along with Vidura from the palace, from the home of Pandavas. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he comes in the morning to meet his uncle, he finds nobody there and he gets really disturbed. And then he starts inquiring as to what happened, where did my uncle and aunt go? Where did my uncles and aunt go? And in the conversation which continues, Narad Muni enters there in the scene. And Narada advises Yudhishthira as to what he should focus on. And in the previous verses we have seen that Narad Muni very clearly tells Yudhishthira Maharaj not to get distressed by the external happenings of whatever is happening around. And here in this verse, he very clearly instructs him. The last line of the purport, he said, Yudhishthira Maharaj is advised by Narada, therefore, not to be disturbed by the affairs of so-called happiness and distress, but to look only unto the Lord to execute the mission for which the Lord has descended. And that is his prime duty. So this is where he's talking about prime duty. Narad Muni is giving this instructions to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So as we go into this, Narad Muni is giving a very important instructions to Yudhishthira Maharaj, focusing, asking him to focus his mind only on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not to really worry about the distress and the happiness that is coming in the material world. And in the purport it is also said that in the internal potency of the Lord there is no distress, but the external potency, where you know there is external manifestation, there could be distress and happiness at different points of time. And that is where the material world binds the spiritual entity or the spirit soul into its clutches. There are desires within the spirit soul, and that needs to be addressed. And Krishna actually allows an agency by which they are fulfilled for the spirit soul. Well, I think as we go into Mahabharata, we look at the examples given by the form of stories. Sometime back also I discussed saying that this instructions come to us as a story, because stories are very easy for us to remember, and we take instructions from the stories as we go down. And Mahabharata is actually dealing with the complete life cycle of humanity. And Mahabharata is the story of actually the human civilization at large. And it very clearly shows that this one planet, which is ruled by only one family. And in Mahabharata we also see how karmic reactions are the ultimate cause of all the actions. Our karmic reactions of the previous lifetime or even this lifetimes are the ultimate cause for all the actions that happen. And this can be very clearly seen in Mahabharata as to how, if we look at the story of Bhishma Dev, well, Bhishma was one of the Vasus, and there were 8 Vasus. And I probably look at that story today and understand the learning from this story. The 8 Vasus were actually traveling, and they happened to pass by the beautiful hermitage of Vasishtha Muni. And Vasishtha Muni had maintained his hermitage very, very well known, a great devotee of the Lord. And there they saw Nandini, which was tied, which is the Surabhi cow, which is tied in the ashram of Vasishtha Muni. And at this particular point of time, Vasishtha Muni was away from the ashram. And while he was away from the ashram, the Vasus were there, and they saw this beautiful cow, and one of the wife of the Vasus said she wanted to get that cow and gift it to one of her relatives. So the Vasu says, no, this is not the right thing to do. It is not nice to steal somebody else's property. But she insisted on it very many times, and then they decided actually to steal. Actually, if we look at it, the Vasus, the demigods, it's not fit for a demigod to steal anything. They are at a very high position. And but they finally steal the Surabhi cow or the Nandini cow from there. And Vasishtha Muni, when he comes back, because he is a Trikala Darshi, he actually goes back into the past and sees what happened, where is his cow. And then he notices that this Vasus have actually stolen the cow from the hermitage. And he says, this is not fit of demigods, you are not supposed to be even called as demigods. And he curses them. What does he curse them? To take birth on earth, and that's going to be a very long lifestyle, that long lifetime that you're going to have. And the Vasus were really afflicted by this curse which was given by Vasishtha Muni, and they came back running after hearing that they were cursed. But Vasishtha Muni said, once the curse is given, there's nothing that can be retracted. We have seen this in many other pastimes as well, that once the curse is given, it can never be retracted. And Vasishtha Muni says, only thing is, I can give you some concession, or I can give you some benefit of this curse which has been given to you. And he says, yes, if Ganga agrees to be your mother. They said, no, we don't want to be in this material world. This is what the Vasus said, and please help us how we can get. But then Vasishtha Muni says, yes, I can give you that little bit of benefit of this curse, saying that if Mother Ganga comes and agrees to be your mother, then you will be delivered from this material world. And then, you know, you can attain your position as demigods. And then the Vasus, having found the way out of it, go back to Mother Ganga and beg with her, saying that we've been cursed, unknowingly we have done this mistake, and that is where we were cursed. And our Vasishtha Muni has given us this way out of this, saying that if you kindly accept us as your children, then we may be taken away from this curse, or we may be delivered after that particular birth. And then we see the story progresses further. Shantanu Maharaj once goes to the forest, and you know, while he is hunting, he sees a beautiful lady there and goes and proposes to her, saying, would you please marry me? So this is Mother Ganga, and she says, yes, I'll accept your proposal of marriage with you, and you are from the great dynasty, the Moon Dynasty, the Chandra Dynasty, and you are known for ruling the world. I would accept your proposal, but only with 2 conditions. The 2 conditions were that you will never chastise me, or you will never ask me any questions, and you will never chastise me. So Shantanu Maharaj agrees to it, saying that, okay, I agree to it. And then they get married, and Mother Ganga comes to the palace of Shantanu Maharaj. And because Shantanu Maharaj has agreed, then as the time progresses, Mother Ganga gives birth to the first child. And the first child, when the child is born, Mother Ganga takes the child and drowns it. Shantanu Maharaj committed to his vow of not asking a question or not chastising, does not say anything, keeps quiet. Like this it continues, so we can understand who was the first child. Okay, it is the first vasu, there are 8 vasus. It goes on till the 7th child. Every time Maharaj Shantanu sees Mother Ganga giving a birth to a beautiful child, and mercilessly she goes and drowns the child. And Shantanu Maharaj is very perplexed as to what is happening, but bound by his commitment or bound by his vow of not asking a question and not chastising Mother Ganga, he keeps quiet. But the 7th time he sees this happening and he decides, saying that no more. I can't tolerate this. I can't see my own children being drowned like this. And at the back of his mind, he's thinking how cruel this mother is. How can she nearly drown her own children? But then Mother Ganga has a different purpose. Yeah, that is ordained by the Lord. It is the purpose which was actually led by the Lord. And then when the 8th child is born and Mother Ganga is taking the child away to be drowned, there Shantanu Maharaj stops her, saying that, how can you be so cruel? This is not the righteous way of a mother. A mother never does this to her child. But you have been doing it over and over again, over and over again. 7 times you have done. But this is it now. I cannot take it anymore. How can you do such a thing? And then Mother Ganga says, you had committed to it. You have taken a vow that you will never question me, but you question me. So now I am going to leave you and go. And that is where was the birth of Devavrata. And what happens is she says that I will take Devavrata with me. And as he comes to her age, I will return him back to you. And Mother Ganga leaves along with Devavrata. And Devavrata was actually very, very dear. So as he progresses, Mother Ganga takes him to the other world or the universe, and then as he grows, he comes back to hand it over to Shantanu Maharaj as promised by Mother Ganga. And Devavrata was very, very dear to Shantanu Maharaj, very dear. Both, even Devavrata loved his father very well, very much. Shantanu Maharaj was very dear to him as well. And Devavrata was actually trained under Brihaspati, and he was the wisest person. He was also given the training of military under Parshuram in the art of warfare, and he was the strongest warrior ever one could see. And this was going on. They, you know, spent a lot of time together. Devavrata would always be with Shantanu Maharaj, and Shantanu Maharaj spent a lot of time with them, and life was going on. And as rightly for the kings, it is very natural that they go for hunting. And one day Shantanu Maharaj came back after going to the forest for hunting, and he did not speak to Devavrata. He just went straight into his palace and relaxed, and he never mentioned anything, and he was looking very disturbed. So Devavrata thought, what is happening? My father is so dear to me, I am so dear to him. Otherwise he would not leave me like this. He would always talk to me, speak to me. We share a lot of discussions. But today it did not happen. So he thought that there was something really wrong. But somehow Shantanu Maharaj did not mention anything to him. So Devavrata went to the chariot driver and asked him that you've come back with Maharaj, and I see him to be very disturbed. Tell me, what is the background? What happened? Did something go wrong while you were on hunting? And the charioteer actually tells Devavrata, saying that Shantanu Maharaj met with a beautiful woman who was actually taking, he was riding a boat and taking people across the ghat. And this beautiful lady is the daughter of the king of, does somebody remember? Who was his daughter? Sorry? Yeah, Satyavati. She was the daughter of? King of the fishermen. And he had proposed to Satyavati, saying that, you're beautiful, I'm King Shantanu, I would like to marry you. And Satyavati said, yes, I wouldn't mind, but then you'll have to take the permission, as normally it is done in the society, not in this society but the earlier societies, saying that the girls would expect that all these things are fixed by their parents. The days have changed. In the earlier days, the girl would not see the boy. It's only the parents who would meet their parents. And they would take a decision that this girl should be married to this boy. And not looking at the beauty or looking at the degrees or looking at the pockets or the earnings of the boy or the girl. But then they actually marry the girl and the boy depending on their background of the family, depending on their spiritual progress, depending on their spiritual standing. But now everything has changed. You know, there's something called, you know, love at first sight, and then again divorce at first sight, first fight. So the day you see them, they get married, and then with a small fight at home, they decide to divorce. So unlike that, in that particular yuga, she said, please go talk to my father and he will tell you whether I'm fit to be married to you or you're fit to be married to me. And Shantanu Maharaj approaches Satyavati's father, and he receives him very nicely. And he says, yeah, I have no problem. I'm very happy, but only worried that I would desire that Satyavati's son becomes the rightful successor of your throne. And Shantanu Maharaj gets perplexed. He says, I already have Satyavrata, who's the elder brother. So, who's the eldest in the family? And he's the successor of this throne. I cannot change that. Otherwise, I'm not doing the righteous thing. And so that is where Devavrata understands that, you know, this is where the problem is. And my father is perplexed whether he should leave me or he should marry Satyavati. So he decides to go and meet father of Satyavati. He goes, meets up with him, introduces himself, saying that I'm the son of King Shantanu. And I understand my father wants to, you know, get married to your daughter. And you've agreed, but the only condition that you have agreed upon, or he has to agree upon, is saying that your grandchild should be the successor to the throne. So he says, I vow that I will not take the throne. I will not be the successor of the throne. I promise you that I will not be the successor. But then Satyavati's father says, fine, you agree to what you said. You've committed to something for your father, but what happens to your children? They will claim the throne. So that is the time that Devavrata confirms that I will not even get married. He takes a vow that I will not get married. I will not never sit on the throne. I will not be the successor. And that's where he would relinquish the position, but what about his children? That also he agreed, saying that I will not get married, so I will never have children. And Satyavati's son would be the successor to the throne. Continuing with that, you know, the Kshatriyas are in a mode of passion. And it's incredible to see how Bhishmadev actually said that I will not go into the material life, or I will not get into the grihastha life, or I will not marry. Yeah, in the past we've seen. So that's very incredible. None of the Kshatriyas will say that I will not be the successor to the throne. Here, contrary to that, we see people actually fight for the positions here. They fight for the chair, they fight for the positions here in the material world. But Devavrata gave it up, saying that I will never do it, I will never want it. Likewise, if we see, as the story progresses further, as the pastime progresses here, Vasus actually lived, were to be on earth for a very long time as per Vasishtha Muni. And that's where the next step is, when Shantanu Maharaj hears that Devavrata has given up his position of the incumbent of being the incumbent of the throne, as well as he has also decided that he will never get married, he blesses him, saying that I'm so happy for you and you've done a great thing for me. You've given up your desire to get married or even desire to succeed the throne, and he offers him with the blessing of Ichhamruti. Yeah, so Shantanu Maharaj offers him Ichhamruti, tells him that you will die whenever you want to die. Now for us, at this point of time, we feel that it is a blessing. Yeah. If we really look at it, Shanti gives us the blessing of saying that you can die whenever you want to die. And that we feel, yes, I'm so happy.
Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baldev Shri Prasadha Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Chandra Ji Ki Jai Shri Shri Lakshmi Narasimha Dev Bhagwan Ki Jai Nitai Chaitanya Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.
So getting a blessing of dying as and when we want is a blessing, but it is actually a curse. So we relate it to the long life that was actually told by Vasishtha Muni. So we're relating it to what is Krishna's plan here. Yeah, it is not the plan of either Devavrata or Shantanu Maharaj, but it is the plan of Krishna, and they are accepting it likewise. Man is actually not the controller. Actually, man proposes and God disposes. So that's where he gets the blessings of being leaving till the time that he desires to leave his body. And this is where it shows how karmic reactions are so effective. They are very, very effective. Then as we see the story progresses further, Shantanu Maharaj marries Satyavati, and then they have, Shantanu has two sons, Vichitravirya and Chitrarangada, and Chitrarangada actually goes on a fight with another king called Chitrarangada, who is a Gandharva king. He says, how do you have my name and how can somebody say that you are more powerful than me? And in that battle, Chitrarangada is killed. And Vichitravirya is actually married later, and Bhishmadev actually gets the daughter of Shalva king. The daughters, I don't remember which king, but then three sisters, Amba, Ambalika and Ambika, he gets them to marry Vichitravirya. But then Vichitravirya dies due to ill health and tuberculosis, is what is my understanding, and I heard it in one of the lectures. He dies because of tuberculosis, and that is a stroke of destiny. And then, this two queens of Vichitravirya, we also remember that, you know, Amba actually had fallen in love with a Shalva king, and then they actually decide to release Amba, saying that he can go back to the Shalva king, and then because the Shalva king does not accept, she also curses Gangaputra. And Ambika and Ambalika, they do not have any children at that point of time. And if we go back to the earlier yugas, it is also possible that it was allowed, it was shastrically allowed, that a brother can procreate in the sister-in-law's womb. It was possible. And then Satyavati actually tells Gangaputra, saying that please procreate in the womb of Ambika and Ambalika. But he says, no, I have taken a vow that I will never do that. It is also, in those days it is accepted, but now in the Kali Yuga, there are five things which are forbidden. And these five things are Ashwamedha Yagna. You don't see Ashwamedha Yagna being happening here. No horse sacrifices allowed in Kali Yuga. No cow sacrifices allowed in Kali Yuga. It is also not allowed to take a sannyasa, the ekadanda sannyasa in Kali Yuga. And the fourth one is offering meat as a shraddha. It cannot be offered as shraddha. And the fifth and the last thing, which is important in Kali Yuga, which is not allowed, is procreation through the brother-in-law. But it was allowed in those days. So there, Vishwa Pitama, or I would say Gangaputra, was asked to do it, but then he refused to do it. And Kala, which is actually Krishna's energy, is controlling the destiny through the karmic reactions. And as we see further, every action that we do has an equal karmic reactions. And many times Srila Prabhupada also mentions this, you know, as you sow, you shall reap. And this is what we see. So every karmic reactions that we do has a reaction. And there's nothing that happens by accident. And when one cannot understand the reason behind happening, we call it as an accident. Yeah. We say it happened by accident, but nothing happens with accident, in an accident or with an accident. It is all happening because of the karmic reactions And there is always a reason behind everything. Just because we are not logically thinking or we are not able to give a logical conclusion to any matter, we say it is an accident. An aircraft, you know, bursts into air and becomes a ball of fire. That's an accident. It's not an accident. There is definitely a reason behind that aircraft burning also. So, as we proceed further, you know, in the story, we see Dhritarashtra and Pandava both were born, and this was born, Dhritarashtra was born blind, so he could not succeed the throne, and Pandava had his own health difficulties. So Dhritarashtra's son also could not become the king. Duryodhana, he wanted him to become the king, but he could not become the king, and Yudhishthira Maharaj became the king. And Yudhishthira was actually born before Dhritarashtra, before Duryodhana, and that's the reason he could not become the king. So all these things led to the fight between the Pandavas and the Kauravas. And Dhritarashtra was always envious of his brother and his brother's children because of whatever happened in the past. And Duryodhana continued that karmic reaction of trying to kill the Pandavas. He tried to kill, there's another beautiful story where he tried to kill Bhima. Bhima was actually sedated with poison and then he was tied, his hands and legs were tied and he was thrown into the river. And he actually goes into the beneath the river, and then that's where the snakes, he goes into the snake's kingdom and then serpent kingdom, and then the serpents start biting him and remove all the poison from him. And then he sees that where am I, and he actually breaks open his hands and legs and starts killing the serpents. But Vasuki, the king of snakes, tells him that, you know, you're my own child, don't do all this. And that is where he gets blessings. So in one side you see, the one side of it is we are trying to do something, but there's something which else is happening. So Duryodhana actually tried to kill Bhima, but on the contrary, when he was thrown into the river and when he meets Vasuki, he gets the blessings that he will be as powerful as 1,000 nine elephants. So he became even more powerful. Bhima was already powerful. He would go and, you know, hit all his brothers and, you know, play around with them, and he was always powerful. But when this happens, Duryodhana wanted to kill him. On the other side, Krishna had a different plan. And Vasuki blesses him saying that you will be as powerful as 1,000 mad elephants. And Krishna makes all the kinds of arrangements for his devotees. And Narada advises here that we have to see everything as the arrangement of the Lord, rather than taking saying that I am doing this or I am doing that. He's advising that we see everything as the arrangement of the Lord. And we have to also cooperate with the Lord in the execution of the instructions of the Lord. One is Krishna is giving us instructions, but it's not for us to keep quiet. We have to cooperate. And here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada also says that we have to cooperate with the instructions of Krishna, or in execution of the instructions of Krishna. And that is where he says that there's a guru. There's internally he is guiding us, the Paramatma, and externally he guides you through the Shastra, guides you through a bona fide spiritual master, and actually sends a spiritual master to teach you or guide you through the external forces. And the business of a spiritual master is not to make business out of it, not to become famous out of it, but to cooperate in executing the orders of Krishna. So the prime duty is don't be disturbed. Here at the end, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that's the prime duty. He says don't be disturbed, just execute the orders of the Lord. And the well-being of the individual actually depends on the execution of the prime duty. And the prime duty of the Lord is the orders of the Lord. So, even in Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 6, in the 10th chapter, Vritasura actually teaches this to Indra, saying that you execute the orders of the Lord. Cooperate in executing the orders of the Lord. So there are very, very nice pastimes of the Lord which actually guides us, which actually shows us the way, saying that we are nothing. And especially in the purport, it says, please cooperate in the execution of the orders of the Lord. And Narad Muni, the great devotee of the Lord, is giving this instruction to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj is the greatest of the Vaishnavas, greatest of the devotees, and the greatest of virtuous person. And he is giving this instructions to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So, I will end the discussion here. If there's anything that you'd like to add, any comments, be happy to take them. And if there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer. Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you for the class. I have one question.
Please.
Like you were telling about that, whatever happens, because of the past
karma reactions.
So like Satyavati was able to conceive Supreme Personality of Godhead as Vyasadev in a room. So is there a mention of what some austerity or something that she
There is a mention that Vyasadeva was Satyavati was able to conceive Vyasadeva, and but I don't remember it as of now. I'll probably have to read back into it, and maybe I can come back to you on this. Or anybody else remembers, you can mention. There is definitely a mention. There is. It is not easy for anybody to conceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his own child. There's a lot of austerity, or there's a lot of different rasas which go into, and only then we could do it. But as the story progresses, I did not mention about Vyasadev, Satyavati is conceiving of Vyasadev, Vyasadev leaving, and Vyasadev coming back and you know, procreating in the womb of the two sister-in-laws. Yeah, it is there. But I can check that and come back to you. I don't remember it at this point of time, but I'll check and come back to you. Yes, Prabhuji. Okay, as his name says, Yudhishthira Maharaj is Dharmaraj Yudhishthira. He was always upholding the Dharma. The second is the name itself says, if we look at our names of the past also, the names are given depending on the stars that we are born. Yeah, and when we are born, there are stars, and on that there is certain Rashi which comes out, and out of the Rashi you are given a name. Yeah, depending on the Rashi. So, if we go back to Yudhishthira Maharaj, his name also suggests that he is the one, he will never even be disturbed. Yudhishthira means he is never disturbed even in the battlefield. The meaning of Yudhishthira is he is not disturbed in the battlefield. Likewise, Duryodhana, as the name suggests. So, I am just giving you an analogy. Who is very difficult to manage? Yeah? Dhritarashtra, very attached to the land, to the power, to the position. Yeah? So, Yudhishthira Maharaj, coming back to, he was Dharmaraj. Second is, as his name is suggesting, Yudhishthira Maharaj was never even disturbed on the battlefield. Did he go to Krishna and tell him, I am disturbed, I don't know whether I have to kill my relatives or not. He was very firm. So, that's the quality of Yudhishthira Maharaj. He was equipoised in every condition. There was one condition when the four brothers were all killed. You remember that story, Yaksha? Yeah? He was never disturbed. So that's the quality of Yudhishthira Maharaj, that he is equipoised, he is Dharma, Dharmaraj, he never compromises on Dharma. He is also very conducive in taking care of people. So these are the qualities of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Thank you, Prabhu. Can we end here? Yantrachrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Damodar Kartik Masa ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.